caught up with comedian Tommy Davidson earlier. You know him from In Living Color, TV, films. Just a funny dude. His comedic tour is heavy right now through the summer. And yeah, you kick it off with another smart aleck comic from a comic named Tommy Davidson. Right?
That, my friends, was one of the most professional segues I've ever... The guy's a pro.
Man.
Okay, within all of the jokes and stuff, was able to slant that in. Mm. This is a sports reference.
Yep.
As in slant, as in a very bad call by Pete Carroll during a very important red zone.
That's good.
We'll call the inside slant, okay? Or we're talking sports references.
Yes.
Bart Starr seeing a slant inside of the tackle and the guard going to the famous... Lombardi on the sideline is going, I think there's a gap that I can do with just kind of a little slant lean. And he goes, why don't you go ahead and do it? Because it's cold so we can get out of here. those are my references. My sports show. That's just the start.
Numerous movies.
This morning.
In Living Color, comedian Tommy Davidson. Dropping the Pete Carroll reference out of the gate. That's badass,
that
TD.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, it's existent, at least.
Right?
It's like frog legs. They're meaty, though. You can't tell. You know?
You were on Wife Swap, all right? And the other dude, celebrity, was Corey Feldman, right? Yes.
Who looks like a mix between Michael Jackson and Smeagol.
Oh, my God.
I'm serious. I could not be more honest. Take a look at Smeagol.
Uh-huh.
Take a look at Michael Jackson. Smeagol is the one from Lord of the Rings.
Ah, sorry.
He kind of crawls, and he's got a little curl here. Kind of looks skeletal, and a little – he's a little pale, right? But he's a great guy until it comes to the rings. Then he's just like, hey, I'm going to get the rings. Rings, man. Rings. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sort of like the small consortium of rich white males that runs the country. But anyway. Okay. So what? What, man?
Okay, I just
looked
up –
you're great until it comes down to the golden rings. All right.
I just looked
we'll
up Smeagol and Corey.
Well, anyway.
I get it. People, Google this. He's
sports
exactly
show,
right.
Guys. Sports show.
It's a Freaky Friday.
Sports fan I am. Yeah, so.
I can tell.
Weird sports fan.
What do you mean by
my
weird?
My teams.
Yeah?
My teams would be, if you even guessed, I'm from Washington, D.C. What would my teams generally be?
Typically the Redskins.
Fan. Okay. Go across the board. Baseball, hockey.
Okay.
Go.
So Nationals and.
Okay. No.
Oh, okay. Damn it.
Okay. Mm. Okay. Nice try.
Who are your favorite teams?
Minnesota Vikings.
Oh.
For football.
Okay.
Philadelphia 76ers for basketball. Okay.
I can see that.
Jersey Devils for hockey. Orioles for baseball. But found out a great sports revelation. Sorry.
Get on the mic, will you?
The Vikings are my favorite team. Fran Tarkenton, one of my favorite quarterbacks, held the all-time yardage, passing yardage, and touchdown record forever. The only one that broke it, I think, was Marino. After all those years, right? Come to find out, Fran Tarkenton grew up in Washington, D.C.
Dang.
Dude.
I just saw the documentary on the ESPNU channel, which I don't usually watch. So the reason why he learned how to scramble like that was because there are narrow alleys in D.C. when they're playing in the street playing football, he had to scramble back. Doing like zigzag patterns. Damn. And that's how he learned. He then moved to Georgia, you know, and did that whole thing. But what a connection. All my friends wondered why I like the Vikings.
I like it.
You
it's
know?
A great connection.
Yeah. Well, I liked them because they had, you know, a really good black defense in like 69. Like they had all white running backs. That's how long I've been a Viking fan. They had all white running backs.
Which held them back.
But that never happens.
Yeah, right.
Like, that must have been a long time ago.
Dude, the Vikings in the 70s had a black running back that was a monster.
Finally came.
Foreman, who came in and ran roughshod over that entire division.
You're absolutely right, but I was a fan before he came, you see? I remember Ed Marinara and Jim Osborne. And those were, like, the running backs. As a matter of fact, I'm a Hurricane fan because of Chuck Foreman. And all my best friends, you know, that I met over the years are from Miami, the football players. So the Hurricanes are like the U. Mm. Is Arizona your place? Where are you from?
Dallas?
Cowboys?
Mm.
Like across the board?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Cowboys, Mavs, Stars, but huge Longhorns too.
That's hip.
Like it.
Ooh.
That's hip. No.
Yay.
No, that's hip. That's hip. That's hip. There's only, there's, I mean, that's, no, he went to Houston. But Ricky Williams.
Yeah.
Best friend for years. You know.
Were you the supplier?
No, I wasn't. No, not at all.
You're the dude I should blame.
Yeah. You right? Can't blame me.
Why? Take it out of his mouth.
Yeah, I know. I know. And then, you know, in the the football life thing, right. I think he said, I don't do it. So it's good that he doesn't, but you know, he had a great, illustrious career. What a pleasure you guys had watching him. And was Thurl Earl played with you guys too?
Yeah, Earl Campbell.
Yeah. So you guys had two of the greatest.
Right. Like, at least in college.
Yeah, at least in college.
Vince Young.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Vince Young. Yeah. That's what I meant to say.
Okay.
He didn't go to Houston. He went, yes,
yeah.
Single-handedly. You'll know this. You'll know this. Okay. I'll set it up for you. Okay.
TGI Fridays.
All right. No, you'll know this. You'll know
this. It was TGI Fridays where he spent $2,000 a week.
Well, besides that.
Okay.
Besides that, can we stay to the sports?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. Because there's some strip clubs that he spent a lot of money in too. And we can talk about that later on. You'll like those stories. So, you know, Leitner, right?
Leinert.
Heisman Trophy winner.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Headed this way.
Yes.
Headed this way. Reggie Bush.
Yeah.
Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah.
Vince Young, having had run more yards than Reggie, mm-hmm. having thrown more touchdown passes and yardage than Leinert, okay, ends up in a game national championship with them with no Heisman Trophy and decides I'm running it in myself to win it. It was, and I had run personally. I have a personal story. I was running from the Hard Rock because I thought the game was over. Oh, no. And my friends ran and said, "Dude, you got to come back." And I ran back into the bar, and he was just running it in.
Dude,
it was like the biggest doggone thing since what happened on the Super Bowl last year or something.
Vince Young is from Houston. That's why you got stuck in there.
He's from now. I personally think this is sports, right? Mm. I personally think that if the Texans would have let this kid finish his trajectory, he might be an All-Pro to this day because he played in Houston his whole life, pretty much, and in that area of Texas. No,
the problem was he got hooked up with a dude called Jeff Fisher.
Okay.
With the Titans.
Okay.
And Jeff Fisher is synonymous with killing careers, not just athletes, but just people that he employed.
Right. And it was an opportunity for the Texans to really make a good choice off of a first round because they usually go defensive. And the thing I was wondering was, why don't they go offensive? They just started doing it. They just did it with the kid, mm-hmm. the kid that's now the
Deshaun
guy.
Watson.
Right. So they finally started making some good choices, but the general manager, for some reason, traditionally didn't do that. They would have sold more mm-hmm. Vince Young jerseys than any team in Texas if they had got them. I'm talking, it's a business, right? So
it
for that franchise,
happened.
What he would have meant to that franchise, mm-hmm. you know, and since he played there his whole life, he never really went away to college. There's a psychological profile that goes with someone who kind of doesn't have to readjust in a personal way to be an ambidextrous in ways.
Mentally, it would have helped that young man mm-hmm. to be able to hang in Houston.
Yeah, why not? Mm. You're the best thing ever in high school. You're the best thing ever in college. You're in Texas. You get picked by a franchise right there where you did all your stuff. Nothing's going to change. Sports is momentum.
Mm-hmm.
So if he doesn't have to think about it and he's right in the playbook and he's right, he just won the national championship and you light him up for some games, the chances are he's going to be a lot more successful than being replanted somewhere. It's just one of those things.
So help me out with this. I think you saw where I was going with this.
Yeah, right? I want to hear this.
All right. So you've got.
You're going to miss this.
You've got Mahomes in Kansas City.
Tombstone.
Okay.
You've got. Let's say Carson Wentz with the Eagles. You got mm-hmm. Kyler Murray with the Cardinals, where you have teams basically implementing offensive systems that go along, regardless if you call it the air raid, a college style, regardless. They're implementing offenses centered around their top quarterback draft pick, okay? Mm-hmm. That was a problem with the Titans and Vince Young. Jeff Fisher was the coach, and if Vince Young would have come in, like let's say today, last 4 or 5 years, teams would have implemented an offense around Vince Young, I know dude's got problems upstairs. He does or did. Mm-hmm. But if Vince Young would have been in a system that was more conducive to his style of play, we wouldn't have so much negative response to his play in the National Football League.
I agree.
Kyler Murray, this offense is designed for Kyler Murray with the Cardinals. So,
but you're so right, because that's what happened to RG3 too.
True.
You know, and sometimes the emphasis will go on to a general manager, offensive coordinator, coach philosophy, offensive philosophy over what they need to do tactically to have a successful offense.
Well, okay. Crusher. You're not joking. Hold on, though. You're not joking. You are picking out stats from Super Bowls way far back that a lot of people are just like, wait a minute, how do you remember that? Are you one of those guys that can remember something so well, whether you read it or you watch it and it's boom, it's permanently in your brain?
It's not really that. What it is that I'm a real fan of the truth.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And so I look at things from a really practical standpoint, about a real factual standpoint about the truth. You know what I mean? So I'm looking at it from that standpoint. And that I have a universal perception of that. So that really covers my whole thinking. You know, and it really simplifies things for me. I'll give you an example. I just wrote a book called Living in Color. That's my book. It's called In Living in Color. I was on a show called In Living Color. It was an appropriate title for me.
Yeah.
Because I was abandoned as an infant in Greenville, Mississippi. I was adopted by a white woman from Wyoming. I was raised in Laramie, Wyoming, and Casper, Wyoming, and Fort Collins, Colorado. I moved to Washington, D.C. when my parents broke during the riot in 68 when King got shot. So me, my brother, and my sister, I didn't know that we're black. We were black or white. I'm sorry. Sorry. I didn't know we were black, not to destroy any camera angles. So we arrive in this city, and there's tear gas, fires. We're on the floor. Me and my sister and my brother go to the swimming pool the next day, and the black kids kicked our ass all the way home. Every single day. I'm 5 years old.
Oh.
I've never even been beat up before. So I got home and I asked my mother, you know, what's going on? Because the people that are beating us up keep saying that Burl and Michael are white crackers and that I'm a white cracker lover. So I said to my mom, I like graham crackers. So I don't know why they're beating me up too. You see? And that's the first time she said that's how people your color call people. I was like, what are you talking about? I'm brown. I'm not black. You know, she said, no, we call you black. I said, but I'm brown like the crayon. You see? And so then we moved to the suburbs because it got so bad. And it's the first time I heard the word because grown white men were chasing me home. I was barely even getting home. And I said to my mom, who are these? We got to stay away from them. They're dangerous, man. And she was like, that's what people our color call people your color when they don't like them. So I thought that was the stupidest thing ever, ever. So that made me start going after the facts of why people don't like each other based on color, you know. And the answer is the absence of love, because I was loved and I didn't think about color. Mm-hmm. See, I connected color. I thought we were like animals, right? We are animals, right? Mm-hmm. But I thought we were like from the animal kingdom, like a brown horse could have a white colt. Or a brown kitten can have a gray one, a speckly one, a black one. So I thought I was a brown one of whatever we were. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yep.
So it made me start going after the facts of stuff. So I listen for facts, even in sports. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I go factual, and it all culminates in one thing. It all culminates in one thing. When Russell Wilson dropped back and called that play on that slant, wham, right? He threw it. The guy intercepted it, right? Mm-hmm. Well, they had worked on that. And when they asked Belichick about that, he said, yeah, we've seen them run that. They usually run that typically in that situation. Well, in practice, that player was missing that play, and they kept teasing him and stuff like that. So when he saw the play, and he was new on the team, it's not like he came in a number one draft choice and all that. He made the team. The NFL's hard. He was on the team in the Super Bowl. He's like, I missed this in practice, man, and I know this play. He was so anxious to get that play done that he jumped it and made the interception. They asked Tom Brady Michael Irvin asked Tom Brady after the game. I look for the facts, right? He asked, Tom, tell me the truth now and don't lie, okay? Because you're in front of everybody. You got the Lombardi again, but I need to know the answer to this, right? And so he goes, yeah, what is it? He goes, if, I'm only going to put if, but I need the truth from you, Tom, okay? If they would have gave that ball to Beast Mode, would you be sitting right here with the Lombardi? And Tom said, as eloquently and full of such balance and wisdom, he said, I'm just glad they didn't.
How would Sammy Davis have called that game?
Well, I mean, he definitely would have seen the unfortunate pass interference of the Rams in the NFC Championship game, even with one eye. And he would have saw that as either some kind of get rich quick scheme from Vegas and all the Richies, or something from outer space, and that's with even one eye. So hindsight's never 20/20, but I'm not 20/20.
If you go down to Michael Jackson on the field, what would he have said to maybe Tom Brady or what Russell Wilson after the game?
Beat it, beat it, beat it, beat it. Dun, dun, dun. Beat it, beat it, beat it, beat it. Dun, dun.
So, you know, we ever gonna
that
see
was for it? Russell Wilson. The other one for Tom would be Thriller, Thriller Night. I got a model wife, I got another Lombardi, you know, that's a wrap.